Let's open our Bibles again today to scripture that we begin with every day for several days now in our lesson. That is, first of all, Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, the 4th and 5th verses, Matthew, the 8th chapter, and the 17th verse, and 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, and the 24th verse. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 reads from the King James translation, "Surely hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." We found out in our studies, however, that, of course, you know the Old Testament is originally written in Hebrew. And the Hebrew literally reads, "Surely hath borne our sickness and carried our pains." But besides that, if you just take the King James translation, what causes more sorrow and grief than sickness and pain? Amen, isn't that true? "Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Then Matthew 8:17 said that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." So you see, in the King James translation, Matthew 8:17 says, Matthew, inspired by the Holy Ghost, said that Isaiah said himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Yet if you just read the King James translation, you wouldn't find that there. But when you know what the original Hebrew literally says, you know that when he said, "Surely hath borne our sickness and carried our pains," well, that is saying that himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses, isn't it? And Matthew, inspired by the Holy Ghost, said that's what Isaiah said. Hallelujah. So you see, you don't even have to look it up in the Hebrew concordance or read other translations. Just read King James, you know that's what he said. That is, if you know how to read. Amen. Then 1 Peter 2:24, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Hallelujah. Now we're talking about the most important things that you ought to know about healing. And of course, the number one thing that you ought to know is that it is God's will to heal you. If you need healing, it's God's will, because it's in his great plan of redemption. These verses teach us that. Now, what happens a lot of times is that instead of us knowing for ourselves what belongs to us and what is ours, we want somebody else to get it for us. Well, somebody else can't get your new birth for you. You'll have to do it for yourself. Amen. I mentioned sometime about a young lady here in the state of Oklahoma in meeting 1950s. She was at that time 28 years old. And for 10 years, she had been paralyzed, because when she was 18 years old, she was injured in an automobile accident. Her back was broken, left her paralyzed. She could swing her body along between two crutches, or she could go maybe 5 or 10 feet, and that's she'd fall unless there's somebody there to help her. That's the best medical science said that they could do, and she'd just have to live that way the rest of her life. Well, she had gotten saved since all this happened and baptized with the Holy Ghost, a member of a full gospel church. Some of the men of the church, because she lived with her grandmother, and grandmother's quite elderly, she just lived two blocks from the church, but she didn't have an automobile. Usually one of the ushers would drive by and pick up both of them in his car, bring them. Well, in fact, I saw him several times. He'd come up to a side door of the church. Instead of putting her on the crutches outside the church, he'd just carry her. And the grandma would bring the crutches. He'd get her inside the door. Then he'd put her on her crutches, and she could go from the door to the front pew. Side door, you know. It wasn't over 10, 12 feet. And that's just about as far as she could go without falling. Now, once she got down, she can't get up. Someone has to lift her up. Well, someone helped her up, got her on the crutches, and she stopped me after the service one night as I was going out the side door and said, "Who's going to have faith for my healing, me or you?" I said, "Both of us. Most people are healed on a mutual faith. I'm going to have enough faith to lay hands on you and minister healing to you, and you have enough faith to receive it." "Well," she said, "if I'm supposed to believe anything, just forget it." Now, isn't that strange that a born-again, spirit-filled Christian said, "If I'm supposed to believe anything, just forget it"? Well, needless to say, she didn't get healed. 2 years later, then, I'm right back in the same church. Now she's 30 years old. But I noticed her in every service, day and night. And like I said, she had some use of her hands, not much, but some use, not full use. And she even took some notes when I was teaching in the daytime. And after 2 weeks setting in services, two services a day, I'd always have the healing line to line up to my left or there, right down the side of the church auditorium. And she's sitting right on the front pew, and one of the ushers lifted her up, put his hands under her armpit, lifted to her feet, put her on her crutches, and then just almost carried her, because see, it's some distance from here to that wall over there, and there's about that much room as there is here, except it was deeper auditorium, longer, you see, but probably about as wide. And he got her up within, I'd say, 4 or 5 feet of me, and then just sort of turned her loose, and so she made a couple of, you know, moved the crutches up and swung her body up, moved the crutches up a couple of times. And I remembered 2 years before, so I said, "I see you've come for your healing." "Yes," and she said, "I'll be healed too. Just lay your hands on me." Well, now, God's my witness in hundreds of people that I just reached out and barely brushed a woman's forehead and said, "Be healed in the name of Jesus." And she lifted both hands, started praising God. One crutch fell this way, one fell that way. And she walked off just as good as you or I could walk. And I was there 2 more weeks. I was there 4 weeks. That was Friday night of the second week. And she walked that distance, that 2 blocks. See, she hadn't walked in 12 years. She walked that distance from her grandmother's house to church every time, day and night. Hallelujah. Now, what made the difference, you see? How come she didn't get healed 2 years before? She's depending on somebody else to do it for her. But now then, she's found out what God's will is. Faith begins where the will of God's known. See, that's the reason people get in trouble with this faith business, is that they're just trying to do something because somebody else did it. "Well, I heard Brother Hagin said so and so." That's unimportant. What does the Bible say? Find out what the Bible says for yourself and tell people what the Bible says. Amen. Now, you see, that's where people miss it when it comes to exercising faith and trying to believe for certain things. They don't know whether it's the will of God or not. They're just trying to believe faith. See, they think faith will work on anything, whether it's God's will or not, but it won't. That's the reason we've had a lot of failures and a lot of shipwrecked. You know, the Bible talks about shipwrecked faith. Paul one time writing to one, you know, either Timothy or Titus, and he talked about somebody who made shipwreck of faith. I think a lot of folks have done that today. Faith begins, you write that down, don't forget it. Faith begins where the will of God's known. Faith begins where the will of God's known. See, a lot of time people think the will of God's what I will. But you have to understand this, that's only when the word of God's abiding in you. See, John 15:7 said, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will." When his words are abiding in you, then you know something about his will. Because his word is his will. Faith begins there where the will of God's known. That's the reason many have not faith for healing, because they don't know God's will on the matter. What is God's will? God's word. What does God's word say? "Surely he hath borne our sickness and carried our pains, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, not his, ours, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Hallelujah. What does the word of God say? "Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." What he bore, thank God, we don't have to bear. Because he bore them, we're free. What does the word of God say? "By whose stripes ye were healed." Well, I just believe God's going to heal me sometime when he gets ready. Well, he's not. Forget it. He's already done something about your healing. By whose stripes ye were healed. See, Peter's looking back to the sacrifice of Christ, God's great plan of redemption that was consummated in Jesus Christ. And he says, by whose stripes ye were, not you're going to be, not you could be, not there's a possibility it might happen, you were. Now that's the most difficult thing in the world to get over to people. If you're going to believe what God says, that's what you've got to believe. See, and a lot of people think they're believing, and they're not believing what God said. And if you're not believing what God said, then you're not believing God. You're believing something else, or somebody else. What did God say? Well, God's words, God speaking to us. Psalmist of old said, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Hallelujah. Well, it said, by whose stripes what? Ye were. You're going to be? No, were healed. If we were, then I is. Amen. Present tense. We are, and I is. Present tense. See, start believing. I know from experience. When I was healed, when I was raised up from a deathbed, doctor said I had to die. Didn't even have one chance in a million to live. Incurable blood disease. Two serious organic heart conditions. A deformed heart. Practically totally paralyzed. I started believing that I was healed while I'm still lying there. I remember when I saw it, I said to myself, just 16-year-old boy, seeing I'd been afflicted for 16 years, almost 17, just like a few days being 17. And I never heard anybody preach it. Oh, my, I wouldn't have stayed bedfast 16 months if I could heard it preached. I'd have got a hold of it because I was reaching out for it. And I remember the day I saw it. I said, I see it. Hallelujah. See what I've got to do, I said to myself, run out loud. You know, you wouldn't have heard it if you'd been standing outside the room, been standing by the bed, you'd said it, because I didn't say it real loud, you see. But I did say it out loud. And I was talking to myself. Well, somebody said, you go to talking to yourself and you're in a bad shape. Well, I don't know. I remember one fellow said, a friend of mine said he was visiting his dad, and I was about 83 years old. While he was there, actually he was on vacation, so he helped him put up some new windows in his house. And so he said, I was working right on one side of the house and he was on the other side. I got through with the windows when I was putting in. I went around there where he was, and I just said to him, well, Dad, said I, you know, because I walked up on him and he's talking to himself. He said, were you talking to yourself? Said he stopped and looked me just right in the eye and said, sir, I'd have you know one thing, I was talking to a gentleman. He said, I shut up right away. Amen. So I said out loud, I see it. Now see, a lot of folks try to do it because I saw it. It won't work. You've got to see it too. It won't work because I saw it. Well, now that worked for Brother Hagin. It ought to work for me. Well, no, it won't. No, not unless you see it, it won't. Amen. I said, I see it. What I've got to do is start believing that I receive my healing, that I'm healed. My paralysis, I've got to believe my paralysis are gone while I'm still paralyzed. God said, he said, as high as heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways above your ways. See, and my thoughts above your thoughts. See, that kind of way, that kind of thinking is as high above man, human, common sense thinking as the heavens is above the earth. God said so. 55th chapter of Isaiah said so. Did you ever read it in there? Well, read it. It's in there. See, I said, I see it. I know that's not natural human thinking. But I've got to believe while my heart's still not beating right. It's quite obvious it wasn't beating right. I got to believe, though, that I received healing for it. See, by whose stripes ye were. Past tense. Ye were healed. Then if we were, I am. See, most people believe God's going to heal me sometime. Well, would you ever get born again believing God's going to save you sometime? No, while you're waiting for sometime to get by, you'd die and go to hell. Amen. Sooner or later, you're going to have to start believing. I receive. Hallelujah. I believe I receive. So that's the most important thing. That's the main thing you need to know, is that himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. By his stripes, we were healed. Praise God. In the mind of God, it was accomplished back there. You notice the latter part of that fourth verse of Isaiah 53 said, yet we did esteem him, Jesus, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now see, that's not talking about what the Roman soldiers did to him. That was a physical thing. He's saying here that God smote Jesus with our sicknesses. He afflicted him with our sicknesses. Are you listening? When you come to know that, how are you going to come to know it? Well, you read it in the Word, but keep meditating on it. Keep meditating on it until it registers down here on the inside of you. That's when it'll work for you. Now, the second most important thing you ought to know about sickness is this, that sickness comes from Satan, not God. That Satan is the author of sickness and disease. Now, when you know that, you'll know God don't want you. God doesn't want us with anything that belongs to the devil. Amen. Now, remember this also, that the Bible is progressive revelation. You don't get the full revelation of a lot of things in the Old Testament. I get so amused sometimes at Christians going back under the Old Covenant, picking out some scripture that applied to the Jews, don't even apply to the church, trying to prove something. That's in direct contradiction to what the letters that are written to the church said. If you want to read and know what belongs to you, read the letters that are written to the church. Paul himself, in writing in these letters, more than once said, talks about the mystery of God, of godliness and of God's plan that is just now revealed. He talks about prophets of old. They even prophesied about it, didn't understand. They wanted to look into it and couldn't. And then somebody wants to get back there. Oh, I want to get over here, bless God, in the revelation of it, what's mine. And so, let's look into the New Testament then, because we're under the New Covenant, and see what the Bible said about it. Well, Acts 10:38 is one of my favorites, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing. Thank God healing is good, isn't it? Healing who? Whom was it that he healed? All that were oppressed of the devil, for God is with him. Every single person that Jesus healed then was oppressed of the devil. He healed multitudes as well as single individuals. And you don't find one single time where he ever healed anybody that God put sickness on. Every one of these people, multitudes of them, because the Bible talks about in one place a multitude, in another place it talks about multitudes. And he said he healed them all. And the Bible said here that all of them were oppressed of the devil. Sickness then is satanic oppression. Jesus said himself concerning the woman in the synagogue in Luke 13 that was bowed together and could no wise lift herself up. And art not this woman being a daughter of Abraham whom Satan is bound? Lo, these 18 years be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day. Now, who was it that bound her? And that was a physical condition, wasn't it? He said Satan was the one. John, the 10th chapter and the 10th verse, Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful to know the revelation of the new covenant? The thief come. Well, God's not a thief. Jesus is not a thief. He's talking about the devil. Thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, to destroy. I'm come. Hallelujah, that they might have life. I tell this story sometimes It's a true story. The tornado struck in this area south here, south Tulsa County, came on up across here, you know something. And there at Kiefer, Oklahoma, you know, the trailer park blowed away. Well, one of our students, one of our first-year students here, is home on vacation, you know, because we're out here. Her mother wrote the letter, said the manager of the trailer park, they live there in one of these trailers, she and her husband, the girls here in school. And the manager asked them to stay in his trailer. He went to Michigan for Christmas time, see. And then she went into great detail about it, that all three of them, the night before, you see, Christmas Eve on Thursday night, they couldn't sleep, and if they'd really listened, she said, I'm sure that we would have got up and interceded, but we really didn't, you know, we couldn't sleep too well. Something wrong. And the next morning, you see, the tornado struck. She said she and her husband were sitting there, and he suddenly said, that's a tornado. They heard it just like a freight train coming. Well, she said, I jumped up and started just hollering, Jesus, Jesus. And I ran in there because the daughter, the Rhema student, had been up, you know. And then she said, well, I didn't sleep. Well, I'm going back and lie down and go to sleep. And I went in there and awakened her. And I said, there's a tornado on. And she said, that Rhema student just pointed her finger that direction and said, destructions of the devil. I command you in Jesus' name, don't you touch this trailer. Now, every single trailer of that entire trailer park was demolished except the one they was in their home. Hallelujah. The one right next to them, it blew apart. They looked at it and said, don't you touch us, and it went around them, just divided and went around them, and all the junk. Then they commanded nobody die, and you know, you heard it on the news, they said it's miraculous, nobody was killed. Not anybody. Nobody really with critical or major injuries. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Well, they thank God for the power of the name of Jesus. And knowing, you see, God did not send the tornado. You see, you need to realize that the law, even the natural laws that are here in the earth, came about because of the curse that's placed on the earth because of sin. And it's very easy to see where they came from. You remember Jesus on the Sea of Galilee when the disciples awakened him and said, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said, peace be still. Well, Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. You think he's rebuking what God did? No, God didn't send the storm. See, because people don't know those things, then they accuse God of the floods and storms and tornadoes and earthquakes and sickness and death of loved ones and these things that continually occur. They accuse God of that. Well, it's very simple if you just listen to what the Bible said. Go over to the book of Revelation. The Bible talks about when Satan is eliminated from the earth or from human contact, there will be nothing that will hurt or destroy. Doesn't it? I said, doesn't it? That'll be a great day, won't it? Yeah. But thank God, in the meantime, you and I have the right to claim protection now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And there's some benefits that are ours now. Woo. You wear your shouting clothes today? Oh, you know this. And I can quote it, and you know that because I'm always quoting it. Why don't you turn and read it so you'll know for sure it's there and mark it. Why don't you turn back to the 103rd Psalm real quickly? You can see exactly what we're talking about. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. I said there are benefits. What are they? Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Thank God it don't end there. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? That's reading that Rhema student just pointed towards that tornado and said, that's destruction, that's not God. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Don't you touch us. Don't you touch this trailer. Hallelujah. Her mother who wrote the letter said it, so she was right, that you see, then the next, on Sunday night, it went by Christmas, which was Saturday. And she said, you know, of course things are blown around and men were patrolling the ground, you know, because looters might come in, you know, and pick up stuff, you know, and said it's so refreshing to these folks, you know, just, driving up and down the street, some of them walking, and all of them praising God. Hallelujah, even in the nighttime. Because they know a great deliverance came, you see. Well, thank God, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with love and kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. That's the benefits. I don't know about you, but I'm cashing in on all my benefits. Amen. Amen. See, some folks just cash in on who forgiveth all thine iniquity. Oh, thank God he does. But that's the only benefit they ever cash in on. I mean, read all of it. Bless God, it all belongs to us. It's ours. Can you say amen? Amen. Now then, here's the third thing, and we looked at in detail, and I'm not going into great detail about it now, that you ought to know about divine healing. That is how that God dealt with sickness in the Old Testament as well as the New. Now, you see, as you go back to the Old Testament, God plainly said to Israel, walk in my statutes and keep my commandments, and I'll take sickness away from the midst of thee, and the number of your days you'll fulfill. And everybody admits, well, that's so, yeah. I've had people even minister to say, well, now we know, of course, that God provided healing there under the old covenant, but now that's not ours under the new. I said, isn't that strange? That under a covenant, because you read in the 8th chapter and you read of Hebrews, and you'll find out that the Word of God tells us that we've got a better covenant established on better promises. Now, wouldn't that be strange, under a better covenant and better promises, that you wouldn't have as much as you had under the old one? Well, it wouldn't be better then, would it? I said to this minister I was talking to, now, for instance, I knew something about it. I said, now you traded automobiles. You still didn't get a new one, because this is many years ago he's talking to me. You didn't buy a new one now, but you did move up for 2 or 3 years. You told me that's a better car. Now, what do you mean it's better? The old one, some of the fenders was rusted out. But on the new ones you've got, it's not as good, so all 4 fenders are rusted out. The old one wouldn't run but about 60 or 70 mile an hour, and your new one, you can't get 35 out of it because it's better. No, if it's a better car, when you said it was better, didn't you mean that your new car, you know, new to you, would do all that the old one did and more too? Because if it won't, it's not better. Or, for instance, I said to him, you said to me, we've changed churches. We've got a much better church than what we had. What do you mean by that? Your old church, you had 50, 60 people. The new one, you've got 10. It's better, though. No, he said, we've got about 200, the new one. You said, we've got much better parsonage. Our old parsonage, we just had 5 rooms. And it was a real old house. The new one is just, the new parsonage, you see, you said, was better. You've got an extra room, you've got 6 rooms, and then it's a brick parsonage, and it's not but about 5 years old, where the old one's about 30 years old. Now then, if we've got a better covenant established on better promises, then it's going to provide everything that the old one did and more too, or else it's not better. Well, he said, I'll have to look into that. I guess he's still looking. I haven't seen him. Bless his heart. Amen. Why not just accept God's word for it? Why not just take God at his word? But you see, this is the New Testament. When he said, by whose stripes ye were healed. This is the New Testament. Praise God. Healing belongs to us. Now, we talked about methods of healing, and I'm not going to go into that again. We talked about the difference of God initiating healing and man initiating healing. Now, what do you mean by that? See, God is a sovereign being. He initiates some things on his own. 5th chapter, John, angel came down from heaven, troubled the water, the pool of Bethesda. The first one in, God healed. Just one. Now, man didn't ask God to do that. He just did that on his own. Jesus came along there and said to a fellow, wilt thou be made whole? He said, "Sir, I have no one put me in the water." Somebody always, because he'd been bedfast, 38 years. He said, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." Now, God initiated that on his own. But now you read the rest of those individual healings, and you'll find nearly all of them, the individual initiated his own healing on his own faith. The woman with the issue of blood, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, "If I may but touch his clothes, it shall be whole." Jesus said, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole." The centurion came on the behalf of his servant. See, they came. They initiated something. The centurion came, said, "My servant lies at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." Jesus said, "I'll come and heal him." "Not so, master. I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Speak the word only. My servant will be healed." Jesus said, "I've not found so great faith." No, not in Israel. Well, what is great faith? Just taking God at his word. Yeah, I don't need you to come. I don't need you to lay hands on him. Just speak the word. Your word's sufficient for me. That's great faith. Praise God. But notice this. That man initiated that healing himself on his own faith. You'll find that again and again. We made reference also to the man in the 9th chapter of Mark's gospel. And of course, Matthew and Luke recorded also, but Mark gives a little more detail about it. As Jesus came from the Mount of Transfiguration, the man came on the behalf of his son. He said he's lunatic, and oft times he fall into the fire and oft times into the water. And as he came to Jesus, that spirit tear him, threw him down on the ground. He had some kind of a fit or spell or seizure. He said, "If thou canst do anything, have mercy on us and help us." But the man came for help. And Jesus said, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." He said, "Lord, I believe, help thy mine unbelief." See? So God does initiate some things on his own. But don't sit and wait for that. You may die while you're waiting on that. Go ahead and initiate your own healing. Praise God. How do you do it? By taking God at his word. By acting upon his word. Praise the Lord. Did you hear me? Now listen. Here is the sixth important thing you ought to know about healing. And that is, you need to know that healing is not always instant. Now that throws a lot of people, because they don't instantly get well from every symptom and everything. Sometimes it's gradual. That's even so under the ministry of Jesus. And remember that Jesus, the word of God said, had the spirit without measure. Now open your Bibles to the 4th chapter of John's gospel. Let's look at some scripture. First of all, you're at there, 4th chapter of John's gospel. Look in the 3rd chapter of John's gospel and notice the 34th verse. "For he whom God has sent," talking about Jesus now, "speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." Now that infers that the Spirit, Holy Spirit, is given by measure unto us. So naturally, if he had the Spirit without measure, then he would have more success than we would if we only had the Spirit by measure. Now here's your example. Go back to the Old Testament. There were two prophets. One by the name of Elijah, one by the name of Elisha. Elisha had a double measure of the Spirit that Elijah had, didn't he? You read what happened, you'll find out he wrought twice as many miracles. They're all listed. Count them and you'll find out that. Yet even under the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, who, as the scripture said, had the Spirit without measure, We find at least three instances where people were not healed instantly. But now listen, let's read first of all from the 4th chapter in St. John and learn something. The word of God says here that we'll start with the 44th verse. "For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast." So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he had made water into wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, "Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." The nobleman saith unto him, "Sir, come down ere my child die." Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, for thy son liveth. Now then get this. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him and went his way. See, it speaks very specifically of his faith. The father, the daddy of this son. He believed the word that was spoken unto him and went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. You see, the fever left him and he began to amend. He wasn't just 100% all right like you snapped your finger. Now, I remember when I was healed of those two serious organic heart troubles and incurable blood disease and paralysis, I just weighed 89 pounds. Well, I didn't have very much strength, but I knew I was healed. And naturally, I was out of bed, my paralysis gone, but I just weighed 89 pounds. God didn't put any pounds on me. He could have, but he didn't. I never known of him doing that. Most of us can do that job pretty good ourselves. Trouble we have is taking them off. Any of you like that? Well, if you have, you'll get there sooner or later, so just hang on. Amen. Isn't that true? You see. But now, you see, naturally, I was still weak. And naturally, if you being that weak and that thin, just tall as I am now, you can imagine that, weighed 89 pounds. Well, it didn't take much exertion to start your heart to beating faster. And you could have said, well, now, you know, my heart's just a racing. You know, I thought I was healed. I guess I'm not. But no, I know I'm healed. And I'd have to rest more than an average person would. See, but I just gradually, in other words, built up strength. The condition was gone. You'll find that's true very often. And people miss it a lot of time because they quit believing God, turned the switch of faith off because, you see, they didn't just become 100% perfect overnight and lose what God has for them. I was doing some teaching along this line. One of the Assembly of God preachers down in Texas, he said, You know, Brother Hagin, I understand something now I didn't know before. Well, I said, what is it? Well, now, he said, in our church, he came from another state, pastor down in Texas. He said, when I was just a young fellow, when I first started, I started preaching as a teenager. And so I just started out speaking to young people's group, you know, and holding one or two young people's revival. Now, there were two ladies in our church that came down with cancer. And after examination, so on, for both of them were pronounced by medical science as being incurable. Well, he said, we had a salvation way back in those days. They had some salvation. They call them healing revivals in the days of the Voice of Healing. And one of the fellows came to our church, and both of these ladies were supernaturally healed by the power of God. Now then, in the process of time, one of them seemed to have the same thing over again. I mean, it come back on her. He said, you know, for instance, she got up in a meeting and requested prayer, said, all of my symptoms come back on me. I have cancer again. Now, when he was talking, the one of the two that had got healed was still well after many, many years. But in the process of time, several months, this other lady died. Well, we couldn't understand it. Said we was all praying and so on and so forth. He said the doctors, because they realized something's not right here, they asked and got permission from the family to perform an autopsy on her. And when they did, they found no trace of cancer. No trace whatsoever. None. And that Assembly of God pastor said, the family said, well, now, if she didn't have cancer, how come her to die? The doctor said, the only reason we know is that she just believed she was going to. We don't know any other reason. We can't find a physical cause for her to die. Only thing we know of is she believed that she was going to die, and so she did. I don't know whether you realize that or not, but medical science knows that. One of the doctors here in the city said to me, said, Brother Hagin, In fact, I was having a dinner with this doctor. And he said to me, would you run to the hospital with me and pray for a lady? And he mentioned her name. I didn't know who she was. I was not really what you'd say personally acquainted with her. I had seen her. I'd probably shaken hands with her one time. And here's what the doctor said to me, a Baptist doctor here in the city. He said to me, there's no medical reason for her to die. But she is, because she's lost the will to live. And she believes she's going to die. Now you think about that. That's what medical science said. There is no medical reason for her to die. But she's lost the will to live and believes that she's going to die. And he said, she's near death now. I went with him. And after he examined a little bit, he said, this is, you know, she didn't even rouse up enough to see that I was there, you know. Finally, he said to her, after some examination, he said to her, this is Brother Hagin's here with me. She sort of, you know, blinked her eyes and looked around a little bit. She roused up a little bit, you know, and I took her hand. She said, oh, Brother Hagin, I said, you don't have to die. And the Baptist doctor right behind me said, yeah, that's right, you don't have to. I said, you don't have to die. You can live. We're going to pray and believe God. All right, she said, you pray and I'll believe. It wasn't 3 days until she was dismissed and sent home. Amen. Now, and yet the doctor said, he said, would you come? She's going to die. I was holding a meeting in Fort Worth, Texas, in the old Rose and Hyde Assembly of God Church for Brother Braun. One of the doctors there in the city said to him, said, Brother Braun, phoned the parsonage. He said, would you come, please? A man that was not a member of his church, but he went there to church. And sometimes, you know, in the hospital, they'll ask you what church you are. And so he just filled in that was his church. And he just went once in a while on Sunday night. Well, it's a Christian, however. And so Brother Braun was telling me, I went and said, the doctor said to him, of course, he knew the doctor. He'd been there for many years. He said, there's no reason for this man to die. There is no medical reason for him to die. But he's going to. He's lost the will to live, and he believes he's going to die. Unless you can change that, we've lost him. He'll die. Thank God, Brother Braun, by talking to him, praying with him, was able to change it. Hallelujah. And the man lived. Now, medical science realizes that. They know that. I've had more than one doctor to tell me that. And that's what they said about this woman. Said, we couldn't find any reason at all. She had no cancer. There's no traces of cancer about her body. Yet, you see, she kept saying to people because she had symptoms that persisted. Well, I've got cancer. It's come back on me. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. Amen. Well, we need to realize that healing's not always instant. Sometimes it is gradual. So I want to encourage you to keep the switch of faith turned on. I'll come back to that in a minute. I have another thought I want to bring. But I want you to look at some more scripture here with me, if you will, please, for just a moment. About the 10 lepers. I want you to notice that the Bible doesn't teach us that they were healed instantly, right on the spot. But the Word of God tells us that they were healed as... what? As what? As they went. Then one of them, just one of them, there ought to have been more of them do it, but just one of them returned to give praise to the Lord Jesus. Now then let's notice. Notice 17th chapter of Luke. I want you to read it for yourself. We quote it a lot of time, but just read it for yourself. Now notice. The 12th verse, begin reading the 12th verse of the 17th chapter of Luke. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were healed. It doesn't say they were healed and they went. It said as they went, they were healed. Oftentimes, healing begins in a person's body and is consummated later. Now, I want you to notice again from the 9th chapter of John's Gospel. And we'll see here another healing that was not instant. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. His disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither is this man sin nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now see, people, stop reading right there and said, Now he was blind, so the works of God should be made manifest in him. No, that's not what it said. Now notice. But that the works of God should be made manifest in him, I must work the works of God. So the works of God hadn't been made manifest yet. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Now, I don't know how much time expired. I don't know how far away he was from the pool of Siloam. But I know the man was not instantly healed. Was he? I mean, just like that. No. Healing sometimes is a process. Even divine healing is. People began to amend from that hour. That's the reason we encourage people, keep the switch of faith turned on. Now, I was in one meeting, and there was a lady standing right in front of the pulpit that I learned later. I didn't know. I knew she was blind. I saw somebody lead her up there, and then besides that, it's quite obvious when people are blind. I learned later, after the meeting and afterwards, that she had been totally blind for 3 full years. She couldn't tell. She could tell daylight from dark. But she couldn't tell, she could see images. But in other words, she couldn't tell whether there's a man, a woman, a horse, a cow, or an automobile, just an image. Well, that's blind, isn't it? Well, I went down the way, laying hands on her, and I laid hands on her. The power of God came on, and she fell flat on the floor right there in front of the pulpit. And I mean, I went on down the line laying hands on people, and I heard her yelling, I can see, I can see, I can see. And she got up out of the floor. You didn't have to ask her, brother. I mean, she is telling, I can see. And her face looked like a neon sign turned on in the dark. And she was seeing, praise God. Now, the same night, in the same meeting, there was a young couple. I remember how my heart went out to them. Their only child brought a little boy. Actually, see, I had finished the healing line and already gone back to a place here behind the platform, you see. When the pastor came back there and asked me, said, Brother Hagin, I don't know why, I think they had to go get the kid out of the nursery. This couple has come from a distance, about 80 miles away, and brought their little boy who has deformed feet. Would you minister to him? I said, well, bring him back here. So they brought him. They explained to me that the time they got him out of the nursery, they kept him up to 3 years of age in the nursery, you see, and he wasn't, I don't know how old he was. I'd say anywhere from 14 months to a year and a half, 18 months old, something like that. Could have been 2. But now both feet were club feet. I never saw a kid. I've seen children with 1 foot club foot. But both feet are club feet. They're deformed. Well, I put those little old feet in my hands and prayed, and I felt that warm glow of God's healing power going out of my hands into those feet. And I opened my hands up and looked at those feet, and they're just as crippled as they were. They don't look a bit different than they did. But what are you going to do? Well, I don't know what to do. Unless God specially spoke to me, except to tell people what the Bible said or what God said to me. And so I said to that young couple, my heart went into them, the only child of God. I said, I don't know what to tell you. All I know is when Jesus appeared to me in the vision, he said, when you feel that power, leave your hands and go into them, you know they're healed. And I said, I felt that power go out of my hands into this child's feet. And if it'll do you any good, I'll say this to you, I've got a stronger anointing. right now ministering this child than I have anybody I minister to during this whole meeting. And I'm just going to sit here because I'm sitting down and just hold those little feet for a few moments in my hands. And I did that. Then I handed the child back to him. I looked at him again. The feet looked just identically like they did. And that's where we came up with the expression. I never said that before. That's where I got it. Somewhere or another from inside me, it just popped out. I said, keep the switch of faith turned on. By that, I mean this. You keep on believing that the healing power of God's working in that child's feet. It's been ministered to it. Well, that was Thursday night. We were just there 8 days, Sunday through Sunday. So the next Sunday, we dismissed and left. Well, sometime later, I was preaching in a certain place, and the pastor's son and daughter-in-law was in my meeting and came to the platform and asked for the privilege. In fact, their daddy, the pastor, had sent word. And they said, the following Sunday, that young couple came back. They drove 80 miles to get there. They came up on the platform, held a little child up for everybody to see, and both of its feet had straightened out and was perfect. Their testimony was that for 2 or 3 days, their feet didn't change any at all. But every time they looked at them, they said the healing power of God was ministered last Thursday night to those feet, and God's healing power is working in them. And after 2 or 3 days, now they didn't change instantly. In other words, you went just like that and it's all right. That happens sometimes. But they said, every day we said the healing power of God's work, and just slowly they changed, and another 3 or 4 day period, then they became all right. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. My wife and I were speaking. Actually, I had a little faith seminar for about 3 days, one of the churches in Albuquerque, New Mexico, several years ago. And so we were speaking to the Full Gospel businessmen on Saturday night. And then after we'd spoken, we was on the way to a room where a number of folks had gone to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We was going to go there and lay hands upon them. And a lady stopped my wife and I. And she said, Brother, Sister Hagin, may I speak to you? And I said, well, you'll have to hurry because they're waiting on me in here. And she said, you know, I'm 46 years old, 47 years old. And this is the first pair of new shoes I ever had on in my life. Well, my wife and I both looked down at her feet and could see she had on a new pair of shoes. Well, now I wondered, the thought flashed through my mind. Reckon the poor woman never had enough money to buy a pair of shoes till she's 47 or what happened, you know. Then she went on to explain she was born crippled. And of course, she couldn't buy shoes, you know, because she got one crippled foot. One leg was shorter than the other, 5 or 6 inches, and a crippled foot. But she said, somebody gave me your tapes. We called them Faith Series then. I think they call it Faith Classic now. And she said, I was brought up in a Pentecostal church, and I couldn't understand for my life what you was talking about, teaching on faith. But I just kept listening because I was at home, you know, every day. Never been out in public, never worked because I was crippled. And I just, every day I listened. And after about 6 months, I began to catch on to what you were saying. See, I thought about what if she had stopped. Said, I don't get it. No, after 6 months, I began to catch it. I began to catch on to what you were saying. Now, it didn't happen instantly. But she said, that foot straightened out. That leg, you see, 5 or 6 inches short. Another grew out the same length of that. And I became perfectly well over a period of several months. Well, now, somebody said, well, now, you know, people's always saying a lot of things. I don't know about you. I guess it's the lawyer in me. But I always like to prove everything out. Then it'll stand up many court in the land. See? The woman said, oh, she said, as we started to walk away, she said, there's somebody that y'all know that's good friends of yours that used to be my pastor. Both my wife and I said, who? Well, she said, Brother and Sister J.R. Goodwin. I'd mentioned them on the tape. They were at the time she was talking to us, pastor of the First Assembly of God in Pasadena, Texas. She said, I heard you mention them there. I said, oh, yes, we preached for them for 30 years, you know, nearly every year. Well, she said, they used to be my pastor. So my wife got her name. Next time we saw Brother and Sister Goodwin, my wife brought up the subject and got out the little paper, you know, with her name. And the minute she did, Sister Goodwin said, and of course you got to realize Sister Goodwin was nearly 70 years old this time, and the lady was 47. So she just called her a girl, because when they pastored her, she was in her 20s. And immediately when Aretha called her name, she said, oh, yes, the little crippled girl. My wife said, well, she's not crippled anymore. We saw her perfectly well. Sister Goodwin said, well, when we passed her, she was crippled. And her mother said she'd been that way all her life, born that way. Well, we said she's not anymore. Now then, listen to this. Here's what I want you to get, though. Now, that crippled foot, she said, did not just straighten out overnight. Don't misunderstand me, it can. I was in one meeting, and here was a lady the same way with a crippled foot. Actually, she had had polio when she was a little girl. This leg's shorter than the other. It's not as big around as the other one. The leg's shorter. The foot is deformed. She's 28-year-old young lady. Here she is in my healing line. I'd take them one by one. When she got me, I could see she had a box under her arm. Looked like a shoe box. Well, I could see her crippling up there, see, because, you know, that leg is not as long as the other one. It's not as big around as the other one, you know. And so she, you know, and then the foot, she's got a special made shoe on it that's built up, you know, and still not as long as the other one. And it's special made. It's not like the other one. And I said, what did you come for? Well, I suppose, you know, is that yet right on the other hand? Don't misunderstand me at all. I've had people to cripple up there on a cane, you know, just couldn't hardly walk. I said, what'd you come for? Eh? I said, well, what'd you come for? Well, I can't hear. You see, I got this hearing aid on, and I can't hear hardly with it. And I need to hear. So we laid hands on her. Instantly, the woman could hear. I mean, we got, you know, whispered she heard, got a watch, and she could hear it. Pocket watch tick, you know, and then crippled off with actually had a crutch under one arm. And I said, hey, don't you want something else? Woman turned and said, you talking to me? I said, yeah. You got your healing for your hearing. Don't you want something else? No. Said, I got what I came after. Well, I said, what about that crutch? Oh, she said, I can put up with that, but I needed to hear. See, according to your faith, be it unto you. So she crippled on off. I went back the next year to preach in the same church. The same woman's there on her crutch. But no hearing aid. Perfect. According to your faith, so be it done unto you. See what I mean? Now, back to this young lady. Here, this 28-year-old lady who had polio when she was a little girl. About 10 years, 12 years old. Now the limb never did grow right, you see. And the foot's deformed. She said, I said, what'd you come for? That's the reason I asked her. Because I put people in the same line to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And a lot of them in need of healing wouldn't say a word about healing. Said, well, I came to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So if that's what they came for, that's what they're believing for. That's what they get. But she said, I came to be healed. And I'll be healed too. She said, and she took that box out of under her arm, bent open up, said, I bought me a new pair of shoes today and I'm going to put them on just as soon as you pray and walk off from here. And you know she did. I said, you know she did? She was healed, bless God. Amen, instantly. Now, according to your faith, bitter, that's what she believed for. But now you see, this other lady said, I couldn't understand what you said. It took me 6 months before it ever began to dawn on me. And then just little by little, my foot straightened out. Not at once, over a period of several months. And little by little, that leg grew to the same length of the other. And then she said, Brother Hagin, on that crippled foot, you see, I was born without a little toe. And at 46 years of age, listening to those tapes, I grew a little toe on my left foot. Now we've got the Assembly of God preacher and his wife as witnesses and so. Hallelujah. Now don't you know that God, you snapped your finger. Look, well, my, there's a toe. Sure he could have. But it just started growing, and little by little it grew until there it is. Keep the switch of faith. That's what I mean. Keep the switch of faith turned on, bless God. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?